Well, on this Reign of Christ Sunday, we hear the Apostle Paul telling the church in Colossae that through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to God's self all things by making peace through the blood of Christ's cross. Now, reconcile, of course, means to make right with. So that was in our reading today. Now, elsewhere, Paul develops this theme of reconciliation in the second letter to the church in Corinth, where he writes that since we have been reconciled to God, made right with God through Christ, now God has given to us, to the church on earth, the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to all of us the ministry of reconciliation. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So reconciliation, this word really leaped out at me this week as I was participating in this conflict mediation training that was being held at Messiah Lutheran in Redwood City. Now, our instructor, Richard Blackburn, director of the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center in Illinois, has been mediating congregational conflicts for many, many years. And he told us many, many stories, some of them heartbreaking stories about the wounds that we tend to inflict on one another as human beings, even in Christian community. He told us stories of, you know, feelings hurt over things like memorial gifts or miscommunications and divisions over things like purchasing a new organ or deciding on paint colors and polarizations around pastors or social issues or that thing that happened in 1989 that everyone still remembers. Well, we hoard up these hurts sometimes, don't we? And we end up with this big garbage pile of hurts that we keep inside, and then some last straw brings this breaking point, and that's when we lash out, and we want retribution, and we want punishment. And you know what? Half the time, we don't even know we're doing this. Half the time, we don't really even see the big picture. We don't see the patterns that have formed. Maybe we don't even know why it is that we're feeling disconnected to someone or disrespected by them. Or we don't even know that we've hurt somebody's feelings. Or maybe we know that we did, but we really don't know why it is that we did what we did. And we certainly don't know how to fix the whole mess. Although some of the times we figure the way it would be fixed is if the other people would just realize that they're wrong and I'm right, and that's pretty much my default position. How about you? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Words that we usually hear on Holy Week. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they were doing. This is the text for Christ the King Sunday. This is the text. Father, forgive them, Jesus says from the cross. And then as the one thief begs Jesus, remember me, Jesus tells him, today you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness and paradise. Forgiveness in Christ is paradise. Jesus does not condemn us, but forgives us. And that mercy frees us to become the people who God created us to be. That forgiveness welcomes us back into paradise right now, right here, today. In numerous role plays that we did at this very intensive mediation, conflict mediation training, those of us who are participating were able to experience how reconciliation can truly transform, how it can change hearts as we really listen to one another, confessing to one another and forgiving one another the way Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus, the suffering servant king. This is the one who we confess and praise today with our very lives. It is this suffering God who remembers us, who remembers us, draws us back together, and makes us whole and new and free. I want to share with you a story by Walter Wangerin, The Rag Man. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a vision most strange, like nothing my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush now, and I will tell it to you. Even before the dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, "Rags!" Oh, the air was foul and the first light filthy, but it was crossed by this sweet melody. "Rags, new rags for old, I take your tired rags, rags." Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood tall and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed with intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in our inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding a thousand tears. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The rag man stopped his cart. He walked to the woman quietly, stepping round tin cans and dead toys. "Give me your rag," he said so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shone. She blinked up from the gift to the giver. Then as he began to pull his cart again, the rag man did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she has done, his shoulders shaking, and she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing rag man. "Rags, rags, new rags for old." In a little while, when the sun showed gray behind the rooftops and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out of black windows, the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked the bandage and a single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked on this child with compassion, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, "and I will give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head, and the bonnet he set on hers. And I gasped at what I saw, for when the bandage went, with the bandage went the wound against his brow. Now ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. Now the sun was hurting in the sky and hurting my eyes, and the ragman seemed more and more to hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who was leaning against a telephone pole, and the man shook his head. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat with the cuff stuffed into his pocket. He had no arm. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket, and I will give you mine." The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw. For the ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. After that, the ragman found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man, hunched, wizened, and sick. He took that blanket and wrapped it around himself, and for the drunk man, he left new clothes. By now I had to run to keep up with the rag man, though he was weeping, bleeding from his forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, and sick, and yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city, miles after the next, until he came to its limits, and then he rushed even beyond. Still, I followed him, needing to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old rag man, he came to a landfill. He came to piles of the garbage pit. He climbed up a garbage hill, and tormented with his labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. Then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with the old army blanket. And then he died. I sobbed myself to sleep right in that spot. I fell asleep, and I didn't know how could I know that I slept through Friday night and Saturday and through its night too. But then on Sunday morning, I was awakened. I was awakened with a violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sour face, and I blinked and I looked up and I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the rag man, folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but still alive, healthy now. There was no sign of age, and all the rags that he had gathered shone with a clean light. I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I walked myself up to the rag man. And then I took off my clothes in that place, and I said with clear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." The rag man dressed me. He put new rags on me, and I am a wonder beside this one. The rag man, the Christ. Amen.